I want to finish up on, I've been talking about discovering Jesus, and we dealt with Jesus' name above all names, Jesus the healer. Today I want to share with you Jesus the soon coming King. Now, most all of you will know everything I'm going to say to you, but it's good to be reminded of some things sometimes. Hello? You know, as we live in the world that we live in, you know, Christian people are pondering the end times and all of this, what's going to happen, and when will all of this take place, the rapture, the Antichrist, the battle of Armageddon. And, you know, my dad and my father-in-law, Brother V.E. Tipton, they said that during World War II, all the preachers was trying to figure out who the Antichrist was going to be, but all the Antichrist died, so they quit trying. You know, the big issue is not when will the Lord return. The big issue is, will you be ready when he returns? You know, several years ago, Bill and Gloria Gaither came out. They wrote a song called "The King is Coming." Some of the lines from that, "Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me." Is he coming for you? You know, the Apostle John, three times in the book of Revelation, in chapter 22, verse 7, 12, and 20, he said, "Behold, I come quickly, and behold, I'm coming quickly," and verse 20, "and surely I'm coming quickly." All of these verses that John wrote there as he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos and had the vision, it tells us that he's coming quickly. Now, that could mean several things, because this was written probably 2,000 years ago. And everybody said, "Boy, that's a long, 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 long time." Yeah, but remember Peter in his book, 2 Peter 3:8, he said, "One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day." So when you look at it from that standpoint, it's not that long. Then we also know that in the Word, it says that Jesus said he would come suddenly or quickly. He'll come in a flash without any forewarning. He's just there. 1 Corinthians 15:52. Paul says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." How long does it take you to bat an eye? We need to keep in mind that no one knows the hour, the day, the times when Jesus will return and catch his people away. Now, people have tried to set dates. I've been around for a long time. I've been in church all my life, as you all know. And I've seen people set dates. I've seen people go out on hilltops and wait for Jesus to come. Anybody old enough to remember some of all this? It hadn't happened much in these latter days, but used to, it was very prevalent. And everybody missed it. I'll tell you a funny. The first year that I started Rhema, 1974, we had 72 students show up, and 58 of them finally made it to graduation. Now, I want to tell you what, we had some doozies in that class. If Doug Jones was here, he would tell you, but my wife can tell you. And she can tell you, we were on Christmas break, and I got a call. One of our students was gone out here to Chandler Park, you know where that is, where it overlooks Arkansas River. He was standing up there with his hands up, without any clothes on, waiting for Jesus to come and get him. That's the truth. Through the years, there have not here, but as you go back in history, through the years, there is always somebody trying to predict when Jesus would come. And it leads in Matthew 24, verse 36, Matthew 24, 42, Matthew 24, 44, Matthew 25, 13, 1 Thessalonians 5, 2, all tells us that he is coming again. He will come again. Now, many people get the return of Jesus and the second coming of Christ mixed up. They're two different events. It's called the rapture, but that word is not in the Bible. It's actually called catching away. We're catching away, but that's what we refer to. Remember, when he comes to catch away the church, which we are members of, if you're born again, he never touches the earth. He comes in the air. That will be what we call the rapture. He appears in the clouds of glory, a cloud of glory, and we're all caught away. The second coming is completely different. I don't have time to go into all the theological things about it, but that's when he comes back riding on the white horse with the saints and does battle against the Satan, and that's when the Battle of Armageddon will take place. Some of you understand that. You've studied it in end times. Now, today, I am not going to have a theological statement on when the rapture will take place in relation to the Great Tribulation, because that's when the rapture or the catching away will happen. You know, and I'm not going to discuss whether he's coming before, during, or after. Now, there's three different, some people believe he will come before, some people believe that he will come in the middle, and some believe he will come after. I can't quite wrap my head around that one, but the other two, I don't know. Nobody does. Everybody has their own opinion. Many people think because the first 3.5 years of this 7 years of tribulation will be good years, and at the middle of that 7 year period is when it goes south in a hurry. So, you know, that's all of those are theories. Nobody knows. So what I'm saying, you know, Jesus is coming again. Don't worry about any of that or be concerned about any of that. Just be ready. That's the important thing. What I want to emphasize through the scripture today is that Jesus is coming back and that we are to be ready for his return. There are at least 33 scriptures in the New Testament that mention the return of Jesus, which I've already told you, the return of Jesus, we commonly refer to it as the rapture. Now, this is not just some obscure, brief mention. This is not something that, as you read, it's ambiguous. If you've ever read or taken a course called Systematic Theology, and read either Burkhoff or Strong's or one of the others, these theological books that you have to take these courses in Bible school, the books are real thick and they got real fine print. Anybody who's been to Bible school, university, and have had to read some of those. And when you read it, the way it's stated, it's so ambiguous, you don't know what they're really saying. You got to try to believe that. And that's why they do it, so each person can figure out their own. But the Bible is not that way. The Bible is very specific. It is easy to understand. Bible said it. I believe it. That settles it. Now, in the New Testament, the writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, James, Peter, they all referred to the return of Christ, or the rapture as we call it, in their writings. If you've read the New Testament, you've read those. Jesus himself spoke in new times about, while he was still here on earth, about this. Turn to Matthew 24, verse 42. Matthew 24, verse 42. I trust as you get a hold, listen to this, when somebody asks you about the return of Jesus, then this gives you something you can go to and explain it to them. Watch, Jesus talking here, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. I mean, that's very simple. You know, when I was in the Army and we were simulating war games and things, there was always people standing guard while other people slept. Why? To be ready to warn everybody if the enemy came. If you knew somebody was going to break in your house, you're going to be sitting there ready, waiting for them. Am I not correct? That's what Jesus is saying here. Hey, you don't know when I'm coming, so you've got to stay on guard and be ready at all times. Now, let's fast forward from Matthew over to Acts. As Jesus' earthly time has come to an end, they're standing there outside the city of Jerusalem after he had been raised from the dead for 40 days, seen by hundreds of people. And Acts 1:9. Remember, he told them, go tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power on high, and then you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, right? Just ahead of what we're fixing to read here. Many people don't get a hold of that scripture. He said Jerusalem. That was where they were at. Then Samaria, and that was the place the Jews hated the most, and then go to the rest of the world. A lot of people wanting to go out somewhere, but they're not doing anything where they're at. And I'll leave that alone, and y'all ponder on that one. Think about that one for a little bit. Okay, let's go. Acts chapter 1, verse number 9. Everybody should have been able to find it by now on your device or in your Bible. And I see a lot of people got their Bible and they got it open, but they also got their device too and they got it open. I like that. In fact, I could do the same thing right here and have a whole bunch of different translations. That's what I like about having my Bible here. When I am reading something here, I can grab this and go and see how it's said in different translations, because as we read different translations, we get a broader scope of what that scripture meant. You understand what I'm saying to you? Okay, here we go. Now, when he had spoken these things, the things that I just told you about, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward the heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go up into heaven. When he returns again for the rapture," or the catching away of the believers, "he's going to come exactly the way he went up." That's what it says right here. You don't need any interpretation. That is very specific. It surprises me how many people read, and even ministers, will read a verse of scripture and say, "Now this is what I think Jesus was saying." Well, since when do we have to interpret what the Word of God says? God said it, he meant it, and that's it. That settled it. Period. Now, as we're looking at all of this, let's go to Paul's writings. Now, this morning I'm just doing a little teaching. I'm not trying to excite anybody to get you jumping and enjoying, but this is information that you need. You see, many times we need to realize inspiration is good, and then, man, oh yeah, man, that makes me feel good. Wah! But that's not going to do you any good when you get outside the church doors and the enemy, the devil, slaps you up beside the head with something. It's information that's going to help you. Here, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." Now, he is not, that word right there, sleep, if you'll study it, that means passing away, dying, okay? "But we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye." In other words, what he is saying here, we shall not all die. That's what that word, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now let's read that in the NLT. "But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in a blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forevermore. And we who are living will be transformed, for our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies." Now, that's the NLT. They give us a little bit better understanding of it. You see, he is talking about those that are still alive when Jesus comes. As we study the Word of God, we'll find out that many have died in Christ. And this tells us they will come out of grave. And then we that are here, still alive, when he comes, will be caught up too. All the ones that are being raised out of the grave and those that are still alive, all will be changed to that immortal body. Come on now. Now, Paul spoke again to the believers in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. I'm just showing you what the Bible has to say about Jesus coming again and differentiating between when he comes in the clouds of glory is different when he comes back in what is called the second coming. Now, I don't have time to get into eschatology and all of that to explain all of this to you. My dad studied Daniel, Revelation. My father-in-law did too. B. Tipton, Pastor B. Tipton. Many of you were here when he was here with us, working with us for 10 years after he retired from pastoring. Those two, and Lynette will tell you, they used to, even way back whenever, they would talk about the end times. One day one would take this subject and the other would take the other side. And like they both said, you really don't have enough scripture to prove either point, but you do have enough scripture to prove that Jesus is coming again. Hello. That is a fact. And as we look at all this, we need to separate these two events. They're two different events happening at two different times. The first event, which we call the rapture, or the Bible actually calls it the catching away of the saints or the believers, those that have been born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this second coming, when he comes back to this earth, they have the Battle of Armageddon, and he sets up the earthly kingdom. That the Jews, one of the reasons in the New Testament they rejected him is because that's what they were looking for the Messiah to do at that time. But if you study God's time clock and his chart, as you chart it, you will find that that's not when that was going to happen. When Jesus came, he came, and we discussed this before, to buy back the man that Satan, God's creation, man, or mankind, as using that word means everybody, to restore them to a relationship with the Heavenly Father. Remember, God would come down and walk and talk personally with Adam and Eve. But when Satan, and we discussed this earlier in the series, was kicked out of heaven, for some of you weren't here, Satan was an archangel that Lucifer, he had a coup, took a third of the angels, and he was going to overthrow God, and God kicked him out. You can read it in Isaiah, says you see him falling from heaven, so forth and so on. Now, he tempted them, and they ate from the tree. God kicked them out of the garden. They were separated from God. And now, in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul says, that Satan become the god of this world, little g. How did he get control of this world? When they succumb to temptation. Now, some say, how can you prove that? You go, when the devil tempted Jesus, the first thing he did, he said, if you're really the Son of God, do this, and so forth and so on. The last thing he did, he took him up and he said, if you'll worship me, I'll give you all this. And he showed him the kingdoms of the world. You can't give something to somebody that you don't have. But you see, spiritually now, when Christ died as the supreme sacrifice on Calvary, now he became that supreme sacrifice. When we are born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we once again, spiritually, not physically, but spiritually, are united with him, and we can pray, we can talk to him, so forth and so on. Now, when this second coming comes, we'll be bodily reunited with God. I realize that's very simplistic, but am I making it clear? Is it, you understand? How many understanding it? I want to make it clear. So many people don't really, they talk about this and they ascribe to it and they believe it, but so many people, they don't really understand it. They just say, well, I believe. Well, it's a whole lot better to be able to believe what this word says when you understand what they're saying here. Hello. Anybody getting anything out of this morning? 1 Corinthians 15:51. Paul is talking here, and we read it already about we being transformed. Now let's go where he's talking to the Thessalonians in chapter 4, verse 16. Chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, verse 16. Now, as you read these letters from Paul to the Corinthian church, to the Thessalonican church, the letters to Philippians and the church of Philippi and so forth and so on, you got to realize he is teaching them because they don't know any of this, okay? So now that same teaching comes back to us so we can learn. Now, where did Paul get all this? Well, you have to study the life of Paul and find out that after he had the Damascus experience, road experience, when he received Christ, and then he went into the town, and it said the Lord told him, go into the town and it'll be told you what to do. And so Ananias talked to him. After that, he disappeared for 3 years. And that's when the Lord ministered to him and trained him and gave him, and that's where he was able to be called the Apostle Paul. He wasn't one of the original apostles, okay? Now here he says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Excuse me. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now I want you to notice here. We with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Remember those two told the disciples there? This same Jesus will come in like manner. And if you will read it, he was caught up with in the cloud, right? And it doesn't it say that there? Now it turns back around and says here to us, it says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We meet him in the air. He doesn't come to the earth That is the second coming. Here is whenever the church is caught away. Those that have been plunged beneath that fountain, filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. That's what puts you in the position to be ready to go up in the, with him when he appears in the clouds. Now, what are signs that we're getting ready, or we're close to him coming? Well, Jesus mentioned these in Matthew 24. Now, in Matthew 24 is a prophetic verse for us now, and also he talked to the Jews of that day about it's both. You can tell when he changed. Here he said, here in Matthew 24, 3 through 14. Later on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him and said, "Tell us, when will this happen? What signs will signal your return and the end of the world?" Jesus said, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come, my name claiming I'm Messiah. They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately." That's an important statement to understand. Some people, they think it's going to be immediate. He just said, you see all this, but it's not immediate. Nation will go to war against nation, the kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, earthquakes in many parts of the world, but all of this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come. Now, there he's talking about the end time. Then he starts talking to the Jewish people themselves there in Jerusalem. "Then you'll be arrested and persecuted and killed. You'll be hated all over the world because you're my followers. And many will turn away and betray and hate each other." Now see, he's talking about them, but this also could be to us today. It has been to some people in years gone by because they would not recant. Now, "And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other." We see that many turning away from God today. "And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people." We see that happening, as there's all kinds of, you can't watch what they call Christian television without somebody coming on there with something that's way off of the wall. Anybody know what I'm talking about? "Then sin will be rampant everywhere. The love of many will grow cold." We're there. "But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, so that all the nations will hear it, and then the end will come." False Christs, false prophets. You know, this is me now talking, okay? I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about anybody else. This is me. You know, it's almost come to the place that you can't have a personal opinion about anything. But there are a lot of people going around calling themselves prophets and apostles and so forth and so on that they're not. My dad used to talk about that quite a bit. And I've told you this before, but back in when I was a kid, and you walk in, I just know only city, big city, I walked in was downtown Dallas, and these guys would walk around They call them sandwich boards. They have their straps over their shoulder and a board on each side, be advertising at it. Nowadays, they do it on the sides of trucks and buses and so forth and so on. So this guy was walking on the street. And on this sign, he had apostle, prophet, evangelist. But the A and the P and the E was in big letters, and from a distance, that's all you could read is A-P-E. And my dad said, that's probably what he is. Just because you call yourself an apostle doesn't mean you're one. So many people try to get you to follow them. They're apostle so-and-so, follow me. But the problem remains, if you're not careful, they'll be asking for you to give them money too. You know, on my messenger, not very long ago, I got this deal from this guy. And he said, I'm apostle so-and-so, and you need to come underneath my apostleship so that your ministry can flourish and become what it's supposed to become. So forth and so on. And I don't know. I think I did respond somehow. But then he came back and he really got down to dinner and it upset me. Now I know y'all don't get upset, but Pastor does. And I wrote him back. I went and looked, I finally was able to find a picture of him. He looked like he might have been 28, 29 years old, maybe 30. I wrote him back and I said, son, I've been around a long time. And I told him how long I've been around, how long I've been preaching. And I said, now, whenever you have established a ministry for X number of years, a church of several thousand people, and you are the president, the head of 200, and at that time, I think we had 250 Bible schools worldwide, then you might be able to call yourself an apostle. Until then, if I was you, I would keep my mouth shut. And I sent it. You know what? I never heard from him again. But this is what it's talking about here. Sin will run rampant. The love of many will grow cold. And we see that happening even among some of our Rhema people. The good news is that the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all the nations will hear it, and then the end will come. We talked about the false prophets. Talked about, is there national conflict going on? Have natural disasters increased? Has the spiritual condition of many grown lukewarm? Jesus said, these are the signs of the time when my return is soon. Look at Matthew 24:37-42. As it was in the day of Noah, but as the day of Noah, I did the old King James. I got to go read the new King James. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, married, giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, I want you to notice, it goes on, it talks about two people in the field, and others be some be taken, some won't. Actually, it says two women here, Matthew, but actually what he's meaning there is that there be some will be left and some not. I don't have to go into theological terms here. Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. Today, are people living secular, humanistic lives focused only on what they can get in this world? Are people going through this life today not even thinking about hereafter, what happens in death? People are living oblivious to God's spiritual calendar. Let's read from what Luke said here. And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon, Luke 21:25. And the stars, and on earth, distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear, the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud. See, there's that cloud again, coming in the cloud. He was taken in the cloud. Then the men said the same, you'll see him come back in like manner. Okay. With power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. I believe many of the things that we've just read in Matthew and Luke are happening in our world today. Now, we need to stand up with our faith and believe God that he will take care of us and keep us the same as he did the children of Israel. He took care of them in all kinds of crisis and situations. I believe that if we'll use our faith and believe what the Word says, no matter what happens, we will make it through. We need to live a life being ready to go. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it is not yet revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies him just as he is pure. I want you to notice, remember, Paul said it the other way, said we'd be transformed. This one says, when we see him, we shall be like him. We'll be revealed and changed. Titus 2, for the grace of God that brings salvation appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There it is. Looking for, we continue. Living right. Looking for the return of Jesus. Preaching the gospel. It doesn't have to be preached from this pulpit. You can preach the gospel where you're at without ever saying anything, just living right. But Peter says, if they asked you, be ready to give the message of the kingdom. Okay? Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached, and all the world is witnesses to all nations, and then the end will come. Actually, that's a verse of scripture that we need to get a hold of. It's so important that the gospel be preached. Actually, that word nations there can be translated ethnic groups. As you know, with our modern technology, the gospel has gone almost into every nation, but not every ethnic group has heard. In the big cities of some of the countries, yeah, but when you get out into the rural areas, some of those people haven't heard yet. Okay? Now, there's where we need to pray, according to what it said in Matthew, to pray the Lord of harvest, the Lord to send laborers into the fields. If you have unsaved relatives, most of the time they won't listen to you. The way you should pray that the Lord of harvest will send somebody across their path that they will listen to. Hello, that's the way to pray. When will the end come? I don't know. But I do know that we're close. Right here on this very platform, Winter Bible Seminar 2003. How many of you were here when I had the vision? I never had a vision before. Haven't since. But that night I had one. It's still as real to me right now as it was when I was up here on this platform when that happened to me. I think I fell down on the desk like that, my head down. And all of a sudden, I was caught away. I don't know where, but I saw this. And I saw this curtain. And it was very wide. And it started to close down like this. Until it was just a curtain you could see through, but you couldn't distinguish anything. How many understand what I'm talking about? Like a sheer curtain on a window, you can see that through it, and there's light and everything, but you can't distinguish anything outside. And that's what happened. And the Lord said to me, this has been the church age. This has been Christianity, and I've just put the church age through it through the years. And when it got to that sheer curtain, he said, this is where we are now. It's not very long until that thin veil will be lifted and I will come again. Today, I trust you understood what I'm trying to tell you. I also trust that you're ready for his appearing. Don't be concerned about when. Be concerned about you being ready. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you happen to be in this congregation right now and you don't know for sure if Jesus would come this very moment, because the Bible says we don't know when, and you don't know for sure that you'd be like the most of us in here, caught up. Or you may be one that knows what it is to walk with him, but you're not where you should be, and you don't know whether you'd go or not if he came. You need to rededicate your life. If that's you, I want to pray with you so you won't leave here like that, but you'll leave here knowing that when he comes, you're going. Let me see your hand on any one of those two invitations right now. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. Right now, I'm waiting. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for those that are ready. Anybody in this room, anywhere. Hallelujah. Everybody stand, please. I saw no hands. That means that everybody is ready. Heavenly Father, if there happened to be one person in this room, under the sound of my voice, that does not know your son Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray, Father, that you would go with them with the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And they can't be satisfied doing anything until they stop and accept Jesus as the Lord of their life, or rededicate you, their life to you. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I feel impressed. If you're watching online and you don't know Jesus, or you don't know whether you'd go or not if he come right now, I want you to repeat this prayer after me with this congregation right now and say this: Heavenly Father, thank you for your son Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died for my salvation. I believe he's coming again. I want to be a part of those that are caught away. You said in your word, if I would believe these things in my heart and confess them with my mouth, I will be saved. I thank you now. I'm a new person in Christ. Amen. If you happen to have prayed that prayer with us, would you just go to, it's on your screen there, go to testimony@rhema.org and let us know about it. Praise God. Did anybody get anything out of this morning? Thank God, thank God, thank God.